It's the Dork Podcast. It's the Dork Podcast.
Rich Keith.
It's the Dork Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the hashtag Dork Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keefe, joined as always by Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you?
I don't even know anymore, man. I don't even know.
What's the matter?
It's just getting towards that Thanksgiving break, and I'm just kind of limping towards the finish line. You know what I mean?
Oh, you got to finish strong, Ryan. If I've learned anything in my life, it's finish strong.
I'm doing my best. Yeah. I'm doing my best.
Well, we have a lot of news, Ryan. I'm not even going to make a joke here just because there is that much news to get to. So what do you say we do it?
Yeah, let's get to it.
This week in Dork.
Yeah. Well, first things first, Ryan, is it's a bit of a sad news. We're going to just jump ahead to the pick of the pod here. That would be the one and only Stan Lee passing away at the age of 95 this week. A legend, obviously, and in fact, we will dedicate an entire episode to Stan Lee. It probably should have been this week's. We should have turned it around quickly. Truth be told, I wanted to do The Haunting of Hill House sooner rather than later before I forgot everything.
Right.
So that's why we're doing that now, but we will certainly take time and dedicate it to Stan Lee.
Yeah, you know, the guy was 95 years old, but you never, it's just one of those guys you just assume is going to be around forever. And a guy
right, he kind of has been,
you know, and a guy that you know, is responsible for like so much joy in our lives, you know, and I know there's a lot of people who say that kind of thing, you know, but like personally, you know, it like hit me way harder than I thought it was going to, which is strange.
Really?
Yeah. You know, where you're just like, kind of just really sad. I was like bummed out all day.
And you know, he was at Boston Comic-Con a couple of years ago, and you remember how many, he had that big talk, and we didn't go into it, but we saw him. I remember looking in and listening to him for a little bit, and then we talked to a few people that had a chance to have the meet and greet with him.
Yeah.
And just pretty cool experience. I mean, this guy, and I understand, like, you'll hear people saying, well, he didn't create all these characters on his own. Like, I get it. I understand. Like, I understand he was a co-creator for a lot of the characters.
Right.
But even if you wanted to look at all the stuff that he gets credit for and take half of it away, it's still a bigger impact than like anybody else ever would have.
Right.
Done.
And it's crazy to me to think that like he created Spider-Man when he was 40 years old. Like, it's nuts to me. Like that's a life like that, dude, to just like so many things. And I was reading today that he is the most successful movie producer of all time in terms of like money made on movies.
Oh, that's funny. So he just passed Avi Arad, who did all the Halloween sequels.
Seriously. It's crazy to me. But like, yeah, this guy, it deserves its own episode. So
we'll do an episode and we'll either do it. It'll be our episode next week, or maybe we'll have time and we'll do a bonus episode this week, but we'll save a lot of our Stan Lee thoughts for that. And feel free to email us and tweet us some of your thoughts as well. And we can pass those along
Here's a good one, Rich. And this is what we call a segue in the business. The good news is, if there's any good news to come of this, is that he already filmed his cameo for Avengers 4.
Yes, he did. And I think he may have filmed him for a few that I heard of. So you might spot him in a handful of Marvel movies coming up, including Avengers 4, as Ryan said, which the report this week was, it, as it stands right now, has a runtime of 3 hours.
And everybody I talked to was like, okay.
Yeah, they're like, well, that's it? Oh, they really they trimmed it down then. Like, what's the point? Because a lot of the articles were like, oh, like, look how long this is. But
yeah, right.
Nobody feels that way.
No, like, and like, absolutely nobody who wants to see these movies are like, that's too long. You know what I mean?
I mean, how long were the fucking Lord of the Rings movies?
Way too long.
3.5 hours?
Yeah.
They were an easy three, if not, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. There were some that were like three. One was, I think it was like Return of the King was like 3.5 or something. It was long.
Oh my God.
Or like 320 or something.
You have to get the two VHSs for that one.
Yeah. The double pack.
This one. So, cause what a lot of the MCU movies have been more like 2.5, right? They kind of get out at 2.5, 220, 2.5
at the most. Yeah.
So they'll probably still trim it down, but I mean, nobody's going to bat an eye at 3 hours.
Nope.
We don't have a name yet, or do we?
For what? No name yet. This will. Like,
I think it's
Avengers Assemble. I think it's going to be Assemble.
I think it's going to be Endgame.
You think so?
Yeah, we'll see. Now, didn't the Russo brothers tweeted something out? Remember a while ago, and they were like, "Take a look at this."
And it's like there's like a hidden thing in it, and people were like dissecting it. And one of them said like Assemble, and one of them like you could see like Endgame. Like, so there's like all these ones that are like people are like trying to pick it out. It's like a Where's Waldo for.
Yeah. So, you know. I mean, you can spend your time doing that if you want. That's fine. Speaking of spending your time, Ryan, Disney Plus is going to be the name of the Disney streaming service, which will be available late 2019. It's going to have Marvel, Star Wars, Disney, Pixar, National Geographic. A lot of those new shows that we were talking about, like Loki and Winter Soldier and Falcon. I wouldn't be surprised if some of the canceled Marvel Netflix shows end up getting sort of rebooted over there.
And I was reading somewhere that even with Daredevil and Punisher, like at the end of 2019 is the end of Disney's contract with Netflix.
Oh, so that makes sense, because we know we're getting a second season of Punisher and we're getting a third season of Jessica Jones. Those are the only two of that universe that are still going for sure. So they might all jump over.
And they should.
Or something. Like, definitely a Daredevil 4 and, you know, Iron Fist, Luke Cage, like we were saying, put those guys together.
And it's just awesome to have, like, all those things in one place. You know what I mean? For someone who's, like, a Marvel and Star Wars fan to also have an app that will, like, or, like, a website that will entertain my kids as well. It's, like, a one-stop shop. I mean, if they charge me $15, like, double Netflix, like, I'm still buying it.
So that was my question. What price could Disney put on it? To what point would you buy it?
Like 20. I think 20 is my cut.
Yeah, anything more than 20 is a bit steep.
Yeah, hopefully it comes in under 10.
Monthly, but like that's a lot monthly.
But you think
the other question is, I mean, I guess Netflix has enough without the Marvel shows, but that does take a bit of a dent for me anyway. And I think a lot of the people that listen to this, that's what they're into.
Yeah.
If you take away all those shows, that's like three shows a year that are really good and worth watching. You take those out, that kind of and like right now, I believe on Netflix, Black Panther, Thor Ragnarok, I want to say Doctor Strange, they're all available on there too. So if you take all that away, that's going to kind of sting Netflix.
That's going to sting Netflix, but at the same time, I think Netflix has been churning out good enough content on their own. We're talking about one today, after all, where they're
good point.
They're doing a good enough job churning out their own shows, which is great for them. With all the original content, you know, I mean, we have like Big Mouth and like all those things that we really love, that and all these comedy specials, which I really like. They're kind of taking on that, and they're kind of
including the Adam Sandler one. Did you give it a go yet?
Not yet. I haven't had time.
I can tell you didn't give it a go because you gave it a dismissive kind of noise.
I was coughing to the. I didn't want to cough directly into the mic. You see,
what are you sick?
No. I don't get sick.
Well, that's true because of all the ginger ale.
All the ginger ale. It's a all the ginger ale I drink
keeps the sicknesses at bay.
Exactly.
That's your secret. If somebody asks, if they've learned anything from this podcast, it's drink a lot of ginger ale.
Exactly. Ginger ale and coffee. That's all I drink.
That's it. That's all you need. Hey Ryan, how about this? Game of Thrones had a little teaser today, and they finally announced that next season, the final season, will begin in April.
Year, April 2019. We'll see. We'll see.
We will see. Let me ask you this.
God, I hope it's good.
What would be a better hashtag dork live show? A Game of Thrones preview or an Avengers 4 preview? Or option three, door number C, letter C... Number C.
You know, it's funny. In the hashtag dork world, there are still people who are completely out on Game of Thrones, which I don't really understand.
Is that right?
I think so. Like, there's people who I've talked to who are like, no, I don't watch it.
But they're assholes, I would guess.
I would guess so, too, and we really don't want them at the live show, even if they were, you know, to show up.
Go pound sand.
They could, take a long walk off a short pier, as someone once told me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think we do both.
I'm a fan. I like Game of Thrones.
I love Game of Thrones. It's a crossover hit. It's a sensation.
I like the characters. I like the worlds. I like the battles. I like the dragons.
I love who you love the dragons.
Oh my god!
You were very upset.
Well, don't get into that.
I don't want to get into it, but there was something very upsetting that happened.
I like Beric Dondarrion a lot. That's a guy that doesn't get enough play.
Doesn't get enough love?
I don't think so. Don't you think that guy deserves a little bit more credit, maybe even his own show?
Maybe he does. Maybe he gets a spinoff.
Yeah. You'd watch House Dondarrion, and it could be like a sitcom. It's just him, you know, leaving the toilet seat up and that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, you love it.
It's relatable stuff, Ry, is what I'm talking about.
No, it's right. It's for everybody.
You know, he's a 9-to-5er, a ham and egger, that kind of, you know.
Real lunch pail kind of guy.
Six pack. You pack your lunch kind of guy. Yeah. And
real brown
bagger.
He comes
home and, you know, certain things he doesn't do as chores. His wife's getting on him a little bit. I think he could be pretty good.
She's after him. You know, he's got the wacky neighbor next door.
She's always chasing after him.
Yeah, he's always coming in the house during breakfast. He's not knocking. You know?
He's coming in. He's opening up the fridge like he's got free reign. He doesn't. It's just an unspoken thing they have.
Oh, what a wacky show. I love it already.
House Dondario, part of our Thursday night lineup. What do you think?
It's got to be on Thursday nights. It's got to compete. No, I would say it's got to compete with a really shitty football game.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Ryan, here's something that's going to be coming out this Christmas. I know you celebrate Christmas.
I sure do.
Once Upon a Deadpool, which is a PG-13 version of Deadpool 2. They've already had like a little poster for it and everything else. Call me crazy. Stupid idea.
Oh, terrible
idea.
This
is dumb.
Terrible
idea. This is really dumb. I mean, what makes Deadpool great is the blood and gore and the over the top swearing. And if you take all that out, I don't really know what you have left.
And like, you don't necessarily want to take, you know, you're going to take like a 12-year-old, like a 14-year-old. They're going to see it anyway. So what's the point of who is this for? You know?
Yeah, right. Like, they've probably already seen Deadpool. Like, I guess, yeah, because, like, kids are probably like, oh, I want to watch Deadpool. And, like, you know, some parents are going to be like, well, no. And they're like, well, now you can watch this one. But it's like, it's the shit version.
Yeah.
Like, you're not.
Like, you remember when we were teenagers and, like, your buddy would, like, pop in a CD in the car and it was like he accidentally bought, like, the clean version of, like, The Chronic. And you're like, what the hell is this?
I remember eighth grade. One of my friends had the Big Pun CD. And I think he might have had the clean version of Big Pun. And
we're just like, what's
what? Where are the swears?
Yeah.
This is the guy. I bought the wrong version.
Ugh, it stunk.
Like, oh, this is trash.
That's awful.
But speaking of Ryan Reynolds, he is also going to be in a live-action Pokemon movie where he voices Pikachu, the name of the film, Pokemon Detective Pikachu.
What the hell is this? Like, what is the whole deal with this? I don't understand what this is.
I had no idea where this was coming from.
Yeah, I don't get it. I just don't get it.
But people like it. People like the Pokemon. I know my two nephews are going to be all on board with
this. They love the Pokemon.
They're going to get in on this. Speaking of family things, Toy Story 4, do we need it and do we want it?
Yes and yes.
Really?
Yes and yes. I can't get enough of the Toy Story movies. Yeah. I think they're fantastic. What was that?
Oh, that was me calling you a meow.
I love the Toy Story.
Sorry.
I love the Disney Pixar.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, if you don't cry ugly tears watching Coco, you are not a human being.
I didn't love Coco. My wife had me watch it.
The end didn't get you? Oh, the end.
No, you know what drove me nuts? So this, I guess, will be a minor spoiler on Coco. Like, you've already seen it at this point. But the goddamn old lady was so mean to the kid. All he wanted to, so there's two old ladies. Like, yes. The super old lady was just like, she, you know, she was just kind of doing her thing.
Mama Coco.
Yeah, Mama Coco. The other one that was like super mean.
His grandmother, yeah.
Hey, guess what, asshole? You let the kid play music. Maybe the Grandma Coco actually puts a smile on her face for the last 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, that's the point, Richard. You know, that's it. You know,
oh,
music
my God,
brings
she
joy.
She ruined that lady's life.
She ruined her life.
I did like his song. I like the song Un Poco Loco. It's a great
song. Oh, that's a good one. That's a banger, huh?
Great tune. He's got a good little voice on that little guy.
He does. The kid can get it.
Yeah, and that'll be on the Disney Plus.
Yeah, we'll watch that. We'll watch it together. We'll have a wonderful time.
You and me, we can watch that together. We can have some Coco and watch Coco. What do you think?
In the spirit of the thing, fine. I love it. I love it.
So you're on Toy Story 4. Last bit of news I have, Ryan, is Steve Carell, who played Michael Scott on The Office, the American version, will be hosting SNL this week.
I love it.
Could be good.
I think he started. Was he a writer? I know his wife was on Saturday Night Live.
Yes, Nancy Walls was on. He and Stephen Colbert were Ace and Gary, the ambiguously gay duo.
Yes, I do know that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they wanted to be on it. I think it was one of those things where like they auditioned to be like on it and they're like, "No, but you guys can write." So I think they did some writing.
And then they both Colbert and Carell were on The Daily Show at that point.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So good stuff. I'm looking forward to that.
All right, Ryan, before we unpack this Netflix series, let's get to your news.
It's time for Davey's Video Game Minute. Even if it takes more than a minute.
All right, what do you have?
I got so, you know, small ends and bits and bobs here a little bit. First of all, I wanted to mention that I wanted to get to this in the news and I forgot. Did you read, Richard, that Venom just recently passed Justice League for gross, for monies taken in?
Oh, like internationally too, right? Like worldwide,
domestic and international. So all total Venom, money.
Venom made a ton of money, and I was looking at the Rotten Tomatoes not too long ago. The critics still hate its guts, but the fans really enjoyed it. Yeah, like 87% fans.
I didn't hate it. I thought it was fine.
I didn't hate it either, but it definitely wasn't great.
It wasn't great. I think the villain was terrible. I think Jenny Slate's character was terrible. And I thought Michelle Williams really mailed it in. She was doing Tom Hardy a favor. You could tell. Mm-hmm. You could tell she was doing him a favor.
I agree.
But anyway, two kind of big bits of news this week. Just today, actually, Insomniac dropped that they are having their second installment of the Spider-Man City Never Sleeps DLC, which is coming out November 20th. It's actually coming out next week. I love how they're doing this kind of like episodically, so it comes out like every month, like there's something new.
Yeah,
cool. And you're getting after Hammerhead a little bit more. There are three new suits. You have the Spider Armor Mark 1, which is the black and silver one. You have the original Iron Spider costume, which is pretty sweet. And a Spider Clan one, which was the anime version of Spider-Man, which is actually a really cool suit. And I firmly believe
Spider Clan,
yeah. Where he's like a ninja.
Because there's two ways you can go. You got the Ku Klux Klan.
No, it's a C. Also, it's Clan with a C, not a K.
We get the Wu-Tang Clan.
It's more Wu-Tang than it is Ku Klux. Yeah.
Speaking of that, I ran into those assholes in Red Dead Redemption 2.
And they lit themselves on fire? Did you see it? Yeah.
No, dummies. Before I let them do that, because I saw you, when I was watching you stream and they lit themselves on fire, I couldn't wait for it because I was getting so upset by the racism.
Yeah.
So I went up there and murdered each one with a knife.
I love it.
Yeah. Very aggressive in that game.
You are very aggressive. The guy, the ringleader there in all black, I threw a knife into his head. That was how I dispatched him.
It makes you feel nice.
But I let the other ones burn alive because that seems to be a quick death for them is too kind. So I let them burn to death.
I agree.
Nice. So there's that. The Spider-Man DLC is coming out. And on Friday, this kind of snuck up on me. Fallout 76 is actually coming out, which is...
That's right.
It's set in Philadelphia, and it's a little bit of a departure for Fallout in that it's more of an online game. This is supposed to be a social thing where you play it with other people, and the leveling system is a little bit more weird. But it's more like Warcraft and set up like where there's like a story, but you go with other people. Like there's like raids and stuff, and you go like searching for stuff. Might be worth checking out. I'm going to wait to see what the reviews are for this, but I'm hopeful that, you know, Fallout titles have always been really good. So hopefully, you know, that's the big news that's coming out of the video games. And that's the way the news goes.
The news goes. Real quick, how are you splitting your time right now amongst games? Like what's the pie chart look like?
Well, this is the problem, man. Like I'm like overwhelmed with games.
Yeah.
When I'm alone, like I play a lot of Blackout. When I'm alone, a lot of Call of Duty and hockey. I play a lot of NHL when I'm by myself. And then when I'm streaming, I haven't done any of my qualifiers for Overwatch yet. I know the new season started. I haven't done any of them just because I've been playing Red Dead most of the time. That game takes up a lot of time.
Yeah, Red Dead does. Red Dead, you lose hours.
But the biggest bit of news that we did not get to is if you're watching on the stream, I did get the Arabian horse finally. That's some bitch. Gotcha.
Dude, you know what's going to be a really good episode I'm looking forward to is when we do our like best of 2018. And I think best video game is going to be pretty
It's going to be pretty tight. It's going to be pretty
tight.
There's
going to be a lot of good ones. So,
oh, and speaking of Game of Thrones, I forgot to tell you, did you read that Pedro Pascal, Oberyn Martell, is the lead in The Mandalorian?
Yes. Oh, I'm glad you mentioned that. Yeah, I forgot to add that to our list here. But yeah, so that's a good casting.
That's a good get.
Oberyn, get him in there in the little Star Wars action. Again, on the Disney Plus. That thing is selling itself.
And I guess he's running into Diego Luna's character from Rogue One. Is that true? No, that can't be right. That can't be right. I thought they said there was something. No, that can't be right.
No, I doubt it.
I doubt it. No, can't be right.
I want to say I doubt it.
No, because he's real dead. Yep, I made that. That's a mistake on my part.
Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah.
Hey, did you see South Park last week?
I did not.
Fun of Red Dead. They weren't making fun of it, but like all the guys were playing Red Dead.
That's awesome.
It's a good episode. I mean, they brought back Man Bear Pig. They brought back Satan. They brought back Al Gore.
Did they bring back Satan's boyfriend? Chris.
No, but Satan had an episode a few years ago where he came back and he was just like telling Stan like all about like puberty or whatever. And he's just like sitting down talking to him all matter of factly. And it was one of the best episodes they've had. And so they brought him back and he first shows up and he's like, oh, like this, is, I am Satan, like blah, blah, blah. And then the next thing you know, he's just like got glasses on and he's like shooting the shit with him, like telling him stuff. It was like hilarious.
Was Saddam Hussein there?
No, he wasn't. He was not. I think Satan might be one of the better South Park characters.
Randy Marsh is still my favorite.
Yeah, I think Randy Marsh, and then like you can't, like Cartman and Butters, but then like from the secondary guys, it might be Satan.
Satan's up there. Yeah, he's pretty good.
Towley. Towley makes me laugh. He's like a shit character, but he's pretty good.
Remember the first episode he was on? At the end of the episode, they're like, they're just sitting there. Like he's in matter-of-factly. Like,
you're the worst.
And so he goes, you're the worst character. And he goes, I know.
You're the worst character, too. I know. But he kind of knows. I mean, he's just, he's good. Self-deprecation.
Yes.
Yeah. He's good. Ryan, are you ready for the topic du jour?
The what?
Topic of the day.
All right. Sorry.
The topic of today. Should be Stan Lee, but we're sticking with what we have. We're gonna put this one, get this one out of the way, because it actually fit better in Dorktober, but we sort of bleed into November here a little bit. That would be The Haunting of Hill House. It was a 10-episode season on Netflix, based kind of off of the Shirley Jackson novel entitled The Haunting of Hill House. It inspired two film adaptations, which were both just called The Haunting, 1963, I believe, and then 1999, which was a dump.
Oh, what a terrible movie. Did you see that one
with Catherine Zeta-Jones?
I did, yeah.
Terrible. That was terrible.
Yeah. Not great.
But anyway, what's also confusing is there's The House on Haunted Hill.
Which is a different book. That's a different book.
Which is completely different. Like, yeah. There was the Vincent Price movie, and then it was, like, the reboot. They also made it in 1999. It was a big haunted house reboot year in 1999.
So that book was by Richard Matheson, who wrote I Am Legend, which is another dump of a movie, but in one of my favorite horror novel of all time.
Really?
Yes.
I loved the movie. I enjoyed the remake, as dumb as it was, but I liked that. And the original is one of my favorite, like, black and white horror movies.
Which one?
But this we're talking about The Haunting.
Yeah, we're talking about The Haunting.
The title was The Haunting of Hill House. Spoiler-free to begin. And quickly, the plot of the series, because again, the series is different than the book and different than the movie, but the plot is, in the summer of 1992, Hugh and Olivia Crane and their children, Stephen, Shirley, Theodora, Luke, and Eleanor, move into Hill House to renovate the mansion in order to sell it and build their own house designed by Olivia. However, due to unexpected repairs, they have to stay longer, and they begin to experience increasing paranormal phenomena that results in a tragic loss and the family fleeing from the house. 26 years later, the Crane siblings and their estranged father reunite after tragedy strikes again, and they are forced to confront how their time in Hill House had affected each of them. Ryan, let me ask you, did you like it?
I sure did, Richard.
Yeah, I liked it too.
You did?
I
was afraid of what you were going to say. I didn't, you know.
As afraid as you were watching the show, Ryan?
No, but we'll talk about that a little bit more later. But I actually did really like the show.
It's funny because if people who have been listening to the podcast, we kind of gave sort of updates like in the pick of the pod section as we were watching it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, without giving anything away here, I liked it a lot more through, let's say, 6 or 7 episodes than I did 10.
It seemed like it started out like really hot and then kind of simmered on its way down.
Yeah.
Which,
what did you,
but still good. It's still really good.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay. What did you think of the story? Again, I didn't read the book, but I know that it's a lot different than the book. The first movie is a lot more similar to the book, apparently. And they really did change it, like how it played out. It's still Hill House. It's still, I think, it's set in Massachusetts. It's still, you know, a lot of the same kind of ideas are there, but like the structure of the characters is completely different.
Which is fine. I mean, you kind of have to update things. Right. So the story itself, I thought the story was really good. I thought the characters were all very complex in their own way. And like you said, it kind of lost some steam at the end, but good, but definitely a good story.
Yeah, overall, I think you get invested into it, which is really all you can ask for. Did you find it scary?
At times. A lot of the scares, though, are like the anticipation of scares. And again, there was one thing in the show that scared me like every time I saw it. Because it happens kind of multiple times.
And we could save, we'll save like what the scariest
stuff was. It's hard to talk about
right now.
Yeah.
But overall, it is pretty scary. It's pretty creepy. It's also one of those things that kind of sticks with you a little bit later on. Like, and some of the scariest stuff to me now is the, you know, oh, there's somebody in the corner, like not saying anything, but they're in the room with you. Like, you know what I mean?
And that's the stuff like, that like we always differ on, like in my type of horror versus your type of horror is like you know, you like the slashers and all that stuff. And I'm much more of like the psychological stuff. So it was a nice blend of those two. I thought
it was a nice blend. And I would even say, so like the slasher movies, so like Scream and Halloween, I like more, but I'll admit aren't like as scary. Like I'm not going to have a nightmare, I don't think, about the Scream killer. Right. You know what I mean? Like whatever, like, oh, it's like some dude in a mask. Like I'm okay with that. But like ghosts, like that can kind of stick with you. Then like you're in a room and you're like, I don't know. Like, I think there's a shape over there. Or like, is there somebody behind my door? Like all that kind of classic kind of scary stuff.
Right.
You get with haunted houses, like it kind of creepy, mm-hmm. you know, like some of the creep factor. Also, this show did a cool job. If you're okay with like the Quentin Tarantino time jumps where they're like, hey, we're in 1992, now we're in 2018 or whatever, you know, like jumping back and forth. I thought they did a good job of that.
And I liked how they did it. It was more like seamless too. Like you'd have one character as a kid, like open a door and then the adult comes through the door. You know, where mm-hmm. it was like seamless transitions like that, which I thought were kind of cool. And it was nice to jump back and forth between the two. Cause like you said, they kind of Tarantino it where it's everything that went wrong with this family is the result of like one night and they're building up to that one night, one way. It's all like Memento. And then the adults are building back to it.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. Cause right. Exactly. And then you're like, all right, so is this takes place before? You're like, oh yeah, it does. And then you're going, you know, you're jumping around. So it does a pretty good job of that. I also thought, now I'm no member of the Academy, Ryan, but I would say that the acting was strong, quite strong in this thing.
The acting was strong, very, very strong.
Even the
across
kids,
the board. The kids were great.
I think all the kids were good. Mm-hmm. I, you know me, I don't like any kid actors, but I thought all of them were good.
Yeah, so the kid who played Luke was probably the weak link, the kid with the glasses.
Yeah, but he was fine. Like what they asked him to do, he was fine.
Yeah, I thought the two older siblings were really good.
So what was crazy to me, specifically with the older siblings and then their version of present day, I could have sworn they had like the same posture. Like if you go back and watch it again, like the way like the Shirley the girl and then Shirley the adult would like stand, it was like the same way.
Yeah,
like
she always had
kind of how they talked. I'm like, that's I don't know if they coached that up. I'm sure they would like to have, or if they were just like, they just did a good job casting. I don't know, but it was pretty amazing how similar they were.
And similarly too, what was crazy is all the kid actors look like they could have been Carla Gugino and Henry Thomas's kids. Like they all look like they were in the same family.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. They did a good job with that. So I assume I know the answer to this, but you would recommend this to people to
absolutely
watch this?
If you like that kind of thing. If you it's kind of I mean I would definitely recommend it to anybody who is into this kind of thing.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like if they want that, and I think it was pretty popular. Like it was one of the most, according to these different metrics that they have. Because I don't know if they know, or they don't release. I don't think the exact number of people that saw it, but as far as how much people were talking about it, like on the internet streets, it was one of the most popular things Netflix has had in a while.
And this is what we just talked about at the top of the podcast. Like Netflix is doing a pretty good job of like making their own content.
They're pumping stuff out there for sure.
And you know, it's great to see like, at times it was pretty rough. Like there were some adult themes there. It wasn't like, I feel like a lot of these shows, especially dealing with horror, if you talk about like, was it Sabrina or something like that? Like they do a lot of stuff. It's more geared towards like young people. Like this was a kind of an adult show dealing with adult things, which was nice to have like, you know.
Yeah. Cause we had a listener tweet us I was only like two episodes in and was like, I have a, I forget, I want to say 10-year-old or maybe 8-year-old.
Yeah.
And it was like, do you think they can watch this? And I'm like, first of all, the last person to ask, like, I'm a terrible judge of that. I don't have kids. I don't know. Like, I go for it. But as the season went on, I think I probably would have said no.
No. Absolutely.
Right?
Not.
Like, this is definitely more of a, because like, there are certain things that I think would be really tough to explain.
Yeah.
And actually, the more I think about it, it's probably definitely a no.
Yeah. No, absolutely not.
12? Like, I don't know what the age is.
16.
You know, really? You're going, okay. All right.
15, 16. Like, when you're dealing with, like, you know, complicated family issues, you're dealing with drug abuse and affairs.
Yeah,
and
you don't know how much of it is, like, mental illness, too, and some of the other stuff, too. So, yeah, that it's heavy at times. That's true. What would your hashtag dork score be for this?
Five. 5 out of 6.
See, I'm going to go 4. Mm-hmm. And it was tracking like a 5 for me. It was tracking maybe even like a 5.5 for me. And then, which we'll get into the ending, it sort of landed on a 4. But still, I would say worth a watch. And, you know, for free stuff, or, you know, if you're paying for Netflix, it's absolutely worth. 10 episodes is good. It's a good pace. Like, it didn't drag too much.
No, there were certain episodes that kind of dragged a little bit. But there was one towards the end that was really good.
I think 10 episodes was the right number, but you're right. Maybe you could have shaved some of the time off of each episode.
Yeah. I think there were some episodes that were like a little over an hour, which you could have shaved a little bit off.
But right. That's true.
We'll get into that in spoilers and stuff. So,
all right. Anything else non-spoiler on this?
Watch it.
Check it out.
It's good.
Check it out.
All right, here we go.
Spoilers.
Spoilers! Here come the spoilers!
All right, Ryan, so this is one of the things that I wanted to mention a couple weeks ago when you told it to me, I think, off the air. And I guess it's spoiler. It kind of probably could have been non-spoilery, too.
But it's awesome to, like, watch it. Well, I know what you're going to say, so obviously, but, like, it makes you want to watch it again.
Yes. Well, what it is you were telling me how when they're in the house, when it's the kids, so like the 1992 in the house, every time they're in the house with a kid, there's a ghost somewhere on the screen.
Yeah. Did you YouTube that?
Or at least to begin the thing. So I did not YouTube it.
Yeah.
But after you told me that, I started looking, and there was one scene. So this must have been episode, I don't know, 8, 9, or 10. And there's a conversation going on. And so I was watching it with Katie, and I told her, I'm like, yo, so let's keep an eye out for these fuckers lurking about.
And I bet she hated it, right?
You know what? She liked it, kind of like me, but then the ending, she was kind of done with it. I think she got kind of sick of it at the end.
Yeah,
she's
yeah.
like the hardest, critic.
She is a harsh
world.
Critic. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how she likes me, because she doesn't like any goddamn show. But she may not. But
she liked Riverdale?
At one point, there was... No, she bailed on Riverdale.
Okay.
No, she bailed on that. God, a while ago. So there was a scene where I think it was Luke and Eleanor were talking, and they were like in the kitchen area in front of like one of these like not a cabinet, but it was like something, you know, that's like a window.
Yeah,
like, cover.
Like I know exactly. It's to the pantry, like behind them.
Yeah. Like, what would you call that? Just like a pantry, I guess. So it's like a door, like a glass door. And the fucking face that this ghost was making was ridiculous. He was like, had like his eyes like really wide, like his mouth open.
Yeah.
And he was like getting really tall and skinny and like looking. I'm like, look at this fucking guy. I'm like, did you see him? She's like, she's like, no. So we had to rewind it. And then she saw him. She's like, oh my God. I'm like, yeah, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
They're everywhere.
They're everywhere. And there's what else is creepy too, is that if you watch the statues in the house move.
Oh, I figured they did. I didn't know that for sure, but I had a good idea that they were moving because that I thought they were ghosts a lot. And then I'm like, why would you have a million goddamn statues in your house? They're everywhere.
And they move. Throughout the show, they move. But like, yeah, it's creepy. Like, and it's always in like passing. Like there are shots where like someone's entering a room from another room, and like in the corner, you'll just see like a ghost just like standing in the corner. Which
that might be as scary a thing that there is.
Like, you know, like, what? Yeah. And you know what scares me the most? Like, The Exorcist by itself is like a scary movie. But the thing that scared me the most in that movie.
I know exactly what you're going to say.
It's that random face that sticks with you. Like at one point where like Reagan is like is possessed, obviously, and there's like that face that's like smiling and like looking around, like
that. And it's got the all black background.
Yeah, and it's terrifying. And it's
like just like a head, and you're like, what is this guy? Yeah. What's his story?
Exactly.
Who wrote him in?
Where's he coming from?
Is that this movie? Am I watching a different show? But what is this guy?
And there's some where like, you know, you see a and you just see like a hand, like a ghost hand, like in the shot.
I don't like that at
so
all.
If you want to YouTube it, every instance where like a ghost shows up in the house, they have like compilations of them now, and ooh, gives you the chills.
It gives you the willies. Yeah, is what it does.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also explain it too. There's so many people working on the house, like renovating the house.
Mm-hmm.
But like those are ghosts.
Yeah, the scene where right, Steve
wasn't
is like
he working on it by himself, and then like there yeah. or I don't know if they all were ghosts or were they all ghosts?
No, there were some that weren't. Like when they had them, and then remember, oh, okay. It was the woman, especially the one that was like working on the clock, where he's like, Steve, you've seen a ghost. He's like, no, I haven't. He's like, that guy you talk about who was like working on the clock.
Yeah. Like they show and like you go back and think about it, you're like, oh, you see that guy all the time.
Yeah, and like that guy's never there.
Not real.
Yeah.
Ooh.
What was the scariest ghost for you?
Bent neck lady.
Bent neck lady was super scary, and the tall guy. The tall guy was pretty scary.
The tall guy was scary, but the only reason why the tall guy wasn't the scariest thing to me was because he walked backwards, and all I could think of was Freddy got fingered. I'm the backwards man, the backwards man. I can walk fast as fast as you can. I'm the backwards man, the backwards man. I walk back as fast as you can.
Did I ever tell you what an important? This is completely off topic, but what an important role in my marriage that movie plays? Freddy got fingered. Did I ever tell you this story?
No.
So Ryan and I was thinking about like asking her to marry me. And, one of the things that kind of hammered it home, other than that, nobody makes me bleed my own blood story, which I think I've told you before.
Yes.
We were in my house in Waltham and she just started like singing that song. Like oh, I'm backwards, bad to backwards, bad. And then I turned on the TV and that fucking scene was on the TV. Like I turned it on. It was on. I swear to God. It was the creepiest thing ever. And I was like, this is cool that she's like quoting Freddy Got Fingered. And then I turned on the TV and that scene was on.
I'll tell you what, if I heard her quoting that, I would have asked her before you.
Her going, X-ray cat, X-ray cat.
I can see through doors. I can solve crimes. Gord, what the fuck is that?
It's the eyeballs.
Bag of eyes with the sauce. Sauce? That is just an incredible movie. We talked about that during our best bad movies podcast.
Freddy Got Fingered episode? Freddy Got Fingered episode.
One of my faves.
Standalone episode.
Actually, believe it or not, my wife doesn't hate Freddy Got Fingered. Doesn't hate it.
There are scenes that I hate, but I don't hate that movie.
Yeah, she doesn't like the she thinks the gross out stuff is unnecessary. Like yeah. Him, you know, there's just like so much of it
with
like,
the dead
you
know, deer and like the umbilical cord thing, and yeah, that was weird.
And I'll tell you what, if you took that stuff out, it probably wouldn't have gotten reviewed the way that it did. But anyway,
we are way off topic at this point.
Scariest part to me by far, and it's like kind of cheap because like. A jump scare is only scary like for that 1 second. It's not something that you're going to be like thinking about forever. But the scariest part by far was when a grown-up version of Theodora and Shirley mm-hmm. were driving to Hill House.
Oh, yeah.
And they're having a really good, like, in-depth conversation. Again, they're both great actresses. And you're like really – you're fully invested in what they're saying. And then Ghost Nell pops through the back screaming like super fat, like super
and loud and super loud. Yeah.
I jumped out of my seat, and I'm not just saying that like, I literally jumped out of my seat.
That was the scariest fucking thing. Cause like you said, Theo and Shirley are having like this really intense, like argument, like a fight, like in the car. So it's already tense. Mm-hmm. And I was reading about this scene, and what's awesome is, so the woman who plays Theo was in, the movie Mute.
She was?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so she and her husband wrote that movie. Her husband was actually the writer and director of every episode of this show. So what's awesome.
Oh, right. And he also did, he did Gerald's Game.
Yes.
Which she was in as well. And right. Obviously Carlo Gugino, who we'll get into. She was in that. And I haven't seen Oculus, but I've heard it's really good.
It's good. And so
they were both a part of that.
So what
too,
I was reading is that scare was supposed to come a page and a half later in the script. But he told the girl who played Nellie to do it early. So the scares you see from the two of them are actually real.
Oh, that's awesome. So, yeah. Like, it wasn't like, so they knew she was back there, but they didn't know she was going to jump at then, that point.
And they didn't know she was going to yell, like, super loud, and she did.
Oh, she yelled so loud.
Yeah.
That's, oh my God, because I was locked in, and that scared the absolute piss out of me.
Right, because it's an important conversation that they're having. And it's like, you know, a super tense moment where they're talking, you know, Shirley's, I don't want to get into the whole thing, but Shirley's mad at Theo and Theo's trying to justify why she is the way she is. And then all of a sudden just like, bang. And it was just like, I'm again, not to bring up my wife again, cause she was like, she loved it. My wife loved it. I wish she was here to like talk about it with me.
Yeah.
But she had to get up. She jumped like you, like off the couch and had
to
run to the bathroom cause she almost pissed herself.
And it was nuts, man. Yeah. It was a wild scene. That whole thing with Theo too. And so I thought she was great, but I did think there was probably like four or five characters that had these really long monologues.
Yeah.
I would have shaved like a minute off of each one. Like they got to the point where like, all right, this is really impactful, but like I'm like, now it's kind of a bit much. Like that's how I felt anyway.
Yeah, I think so too. But it was important for the characters to kind of explain their own stories, which is nice, and explain why they are that, like, kind of the family's just fucked up, but it's nice to know,
yeah,
you know, that it was rooted in something real, you know?
Oh, I should have thrown this in non-spoiler, but I was gonna say the first episode they throw so many characters at you that you're just kind of like, I don't know everybody, mm-hmm. you know, but then you do quickly pick it up. Cause it's like, here's two parents with five kids. Then there's also like the people that live next door. And then you're like, all right, now here's them in the present. And then some of them have spouses, you know, and you're just like, what is happening?
Yeah.
But like you pick up on it eventually pretty mm-hmm. quick. I also read that the kids all stand for the five stages of grief.
Interesting.
Like each stage is represented by one of, one of the kids.
Interesting.
Kind of a deep thing.
Like Steven, the oldest is denial, and they go in like stages.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. That's pretty well done. All the characters. Oh, so let's just get into the characters.
Sure.
What did you think of the dad character? And again, young and old version of the dad, including Elliot from E.T.
So this was the most version. This was the most confusing thing to me. Like, I don't think, with technology being what it is now and makeup, and Timothy Hutton, who plays like the older version of the dad, like he's not so old that they couldn't have like made him look younger, you know? And I thought that was an odd choice, especially for an adult male to look completely different in different stages.
Yeah, Timothy Hutton is only 11 years older than Henry Thomas,
and
not 26.
And they don't look like Henry Thomas does not look significantly younger than Timothy Hutton. Like Timothy Hutton looks young, you know, so they could have like darkened his hair a little bit and maybe like thrown on like a little bit of, you know, makeup on him.
Yeah.
To like make him look younger. True. I never got that, but I thought Timothy Hutton was great. Just being like that, like muttering to himself and like talking to himself like the whole time. Like he was like,
yeah,
that,
you know, yeah. What? I thought one of the best scenes in the whole thing was, cause obviously they have a very estranged relationship. He with all the kids, mm-hmm. but when they return for Nell's funeral, I forget which episode it is, probably like six or seven, right around there. And they're all in the funeral home. And so there's like five characters, I want to say.
Yes.
It's like Shirley, Steven, Hugh, Theo, and Luke are all there. And then like Shirley's husband is like in and out.
Mm-hmm.
And the dialogue is just humming. Like it's just like you have three lines, you have three lines, or not three lines, three words. Like you have four words, you have five words. And then just like whipping around. It reminded me of like a really good play almost. Like that was some of the best stuff I thought in the whole series.
And if you notice, that was like a Daredevil one shot, that episode. Like they went, it was one shot
throughout the funeral. Really good.
Yeah. So that was actually really cool. That was one of my favorite episodes.
Yeah, I thought they did a really good job. And you're putting together more of the pieces of the story. You're trying to figure out why they have the relationship that they do. Because really the dad, I guess, was just trying to, after all this time, protect the kids. But the kids, did they think that he killed the mom? Or they thought he was covering up? Or they thought that at least he hit the mom, right? Because Steven later found out that she had, like, bruises. And then we find out really what happened. But so they were just always kind of they didn't know what he really did, and he refused to tell them.
Yeah, and I think that was it. I don't think they thought like he killed her or whatever, you know. But they kind of blame him because obviously the mother was, you know, mentally ill and disturbed, and he didn't do anything to help. You know, he just kind of like swept it under the rug, and then he wasn't telling the kids the whole truth, and there's like all this animosity between everybody, and you know, it was. And in the end, you know, he's just trying to protect the kids. He's just trying to keep the kids from the truth, which is sometimes knowing the truth is worse than not knowing it, you know?
Yeah, true. So, hard to explain to all young kids at the time, too.
Right.
So Carlo Gugino is the only person that plays Olivia, obviously, because she kills herself back in 1992, and then she is there the rest of the time and kind of bopping back and forth. Mm-hmm. And it is crazy, like the end reveal. It's almost, it reminded me of like Shutter Island, and there's a couple other movies like this where like you knew she kind of, you know, unfortunately lost her mind, but the scene where she was about to poison the three kids,
yeah,
like when they reveal that part of it, you're like, oh boy.
Well, that was kind
of. What was also crazy about that part too, right? It's like you didn't, at that, I didn't even know if that Abigail girl,
which that's was what I'm saying,
the Dudley's daughter, you weren't sure if she was real or fake anyway. And then you're like, oh shit, she was real. Wait. And now she's dead.
And that was like, I kind of like caught myself. I'm like, oh shit, she's a real person. Like that's because the whole time the kids are like, because Luke's the only one who interacted with her. And so like, oh, I need these clothes for Abigail. And they're like, Abigail's not real. Like none of the kids had ever seen her at that point.
No. And the dad's like, sure. Like she's like, can she sleep over? And
he's like yeah, whatever. You know, they just like ignore him. They didn't even know because the caretakers had kept her from the house. So they didn't know she was real.
That's like a creepy, scene. Like,
yeah. You real know, creepy. Them all going creepy to the looking kid. Abigail was a creepy looking kid too.
Abigail was a creep. Yeah. And then just having a nice tall glass of rat poison tea.
Yeah. It's a cup of stars. Drink your cup of stars. So creepy.
Fucking cup of stars. Out of here with the cup of stars. Stephen Crane was the oldest. Mm-hmm. He ended up being a big time writer. Of course, Dario Naharis.
Yes.
And he was kind of like he seemed kind of like a loser older brother to me as like when he was younger. And then when he was older, he kind of took all the stories. And what was weird too with him, and you know, obviously he made a ton of money writing his books. He also lied to his wife about having a vasectomy.
Yeah, which is that.
Kind of a scumbag.
Kind of a scumbag.
Or very much a scumbag, I suppose. But I don't know. It was weird because he was saying how, like, he clearly saw ghosts, but for some reason he didn't tell them that he did. And like, he just wouldn't believe it, but he definitely did.
Yeah. And I mean, I think he was just, that's the denial. Like he was just, you know, rationalizing everything and be like, well, you know, when he had the scene with the lady in the beginning where he's like this like paranormal expert, now he's sleeping in the lady's house. And he's like, well, you know, you hear the cars outside and there's leaking from the roof and that's why there was water, you know? So he's like trying to like rationalize all of this stuff. And sometimes he just couldn't do it. And at the end, he just couldn't do it.
No, not at all. Shirley, I thought, was really good. She obviously went on to have the kids, have the husband, have the funeral home, and just kind of crazy. Like her story about how, you know, she couldn't see her mom. She was so scared to see her. And then the guy at the funeral home was like really nice to her. And then that ends up what she does.
Yeah. And just,
I thought, yeah, she was good. And then the whole story though, with like her cheating on the guy, I guess my question would be, so she saw that guy, but that guy's not dead, is he? Like, he wasn't a ghost.
No, but I think there's a lot of, I think what, you know, ghosts are, is like, in my mind, like, what was happening with this is, like, you haunt yourself more than things, you know what I mean? So that was, like, her ghost. Yeah. Like, that was, like, something that was haunting her, so that was, like, the manifestation of that. But it was also good to see, like, a character who was so, like, self-possessed the entire show, like, show that, like, you're actually a fuck-up, too. You just, like, it makes you feel better to like, you know, MF everybody else, but like you're a screw up too, you know?
Yeah, no, she was, I liked her though. And you could see her trying to keep it together, but like just really couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Theo was my favorite character. I thought Theo was awesome. And apparently she has superpowers.
She is an empath. Yes. So you can touch people and like which I thought was a kind of a cool thing.
Yeah, I like that angle to it. And you know, she's wearing the gloves like Rogue from X-Men.
And it wasn't like so in your face all the time, which was nice.
Yeah, it wasn't like, what's the movie? Is it The Dead Zone with the Christopher Walken?
Yeah.
grabs you, he's like, oh! And then he's like, he sees all everything in your past.
What was cool, one of the other creepy things, too, was like, what was it? What did the little girl call, like, the smile, like, smiley face or something like that? When she was dealing with the girl,
What did she went and the guy
and it was it was like the mark in the wood. It was like that was
That was awful.
That was awful.
Yeah, when she got the guy or she got the girl out of the foster house. And
yeah,
the guy. Oh my god. Yeah, that there. You go. There's a reason why
kids shouldn't watch that show. Watch yeah,
that. Yeah, that was brutal. Then you get Luke, who is the young guy. He sees the tall ass dude. You know, the backwards man to backwards man.
Mm-hmm.
Then he becomes a drug addict, and that whole thing with the girl that, you know, he's sort of with, and then how that all plays
out. I thought they were in a little heavy on the drug thing. I thought this is something they probably could have done a little less with.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. You know, the guy's
right
on drugs. You know, I get it. You know, but it was nice how the first time you see him, he's like stealing from Steven.
Yeah.
And you're not really sure who he is.
Oh, that was the other, yeah. So that was interesting. I guess one of my questions would be, so I did like how they Quentin Tarantino'd the time frame, but did you think they sometimes replayed stuff too much?
A little bit. I think
right, because you'd get to a point, you're like, all right, I know where this scene is, but then they would play a scene in episode 6 that we saw in episode 4, and they'll play it for like 3 minutes.
Or maybe
yep, I got it.
Maybe they didn't count on people like us binging it, like watching them like back to back. I think I watched the whole thing in like 2 days.
If you're going to make it for Netflix, you should be a little bit more self-aware, I feel
I guess.
If they were week apart, then maybe it makes more sense. But yeah, you're watching them in the same night, and you're like, okay.
Yeah, I do. I just saw that. I remember, you know.
I know. Then you have Nell, the youngest. She was super cute, the little girl, and then grows up and then is dead.
Just
hangs herself.
Yeah, and just a real tragic story with Nell, because she's, you know, trying to help everybody, and she's trying to, you know, she's trying to help Luke, and there's the connection between the twins, and you know, but yeah, what a just super
yikes,
super sad. And
yikes,
one of the coolest bits of this show, I think, and we'll talk about it in a second, was the whole thing with the bent neck lady. Like, I thought that was incredibly clever and very well done on like how to like literally bring that full circle, you know.
That was pretty wild. There's so much to unpack with the show, so let's do this, because obviously 6 is the magic number on hashtag Dork.
Sure.
Because of the 6 Infinity Stones, I have 6 questions about the Haunting of Hill House. And again, if you guys want to tweet us at Dork Podcast or email us actually to dorkpodcast@gmail.com some of your thoughts, because we're not going to get to all the stuff, obviously. A lot in this series. Here's a 6-pack of questions here. Number one, Ryan, now that the season is over, we saw how it ended. Will the house still haunt them? And if not, why not?
Do you want me to answer these questions, or are these for the audience?
Because I can't hear from them right now.
Okay. Just have me answer it. Okay. So I think they should be done with this. What would be interesting is if they brought in another family who tries to like move into the house. That would be something. But
so that's what they could do. No, but I guess my question is in the sense that, okay, they all moved away from the house. And in a lot of movies or shows, if you're in a haunted house, the best way to stop being haunted is you move, and then you're all set. Like most of them,
most
right?
Of them.
Every once in a while, something latches on to you, and that's like another movie. But for the most part, you just get out of there. You should be good to go. This one, they were all kind of getting haunted, right? So the mom's dead. They're all getting haunted for a while. And then the next thing you know, the youngest daughter or the youngest sibling is now dead. She goes back to the house, kills herself. Then they all end up back in the house, and the father kind of sacrifices himself. And now the father's dead. But so now are the other 4 kids just going to go live on their merry way? Like, I don't know why they would. Like, they're just going to accept the dad being dead?
I think
I'm missing something.
I think they accept what happened. They learned what happened once, you know. Through, you know, the trickery of like movie stuff, they know, they come make peace with like what happened, what actually happened that night. And then the father can kind of like rest, you know, he's done his job. Like, he talks about like holding the door to the red room closed, like, in, you know, the monsters got out anyway, kind of thing. I think he says,
right.
But yeah, I think they're done. I think they're done with the Crane family.
They've given all they can give, and now like the Hills aren't really looking for more.
Yeah.
What about The Bentley lady was super cool, and it was like a crazy twist when you found out that that was just Nell kind of haunting herself.
Yeah.
But the obvious question would be, how was Nell haunting herself as like a, whatever, like an 8-year-old, and then later as like a 34-year-old?
Well, she says it. She explains it, and I'm paraphrasing because I'm not really sure how she says it, but she's like, you think time is a line. Like, you think it goes, and it's not. And she says it's like, or the mother says it, Nell or Carla Gugia, Olivia say it, where it's like, it's not a line, but it's like raindrops or something like that. Like, okay. They're like specific moments. Yeah. So like, and I go back to, I was joking around with Rye about it. I was joking around. It's like McConaughey in True Detective, where he's like, time is a flat circle. You know what I mean? Where it's like, you know, time isn't linear. It's, you know, so you,
yeah, it's, no, okay. In my head, so okay. It's not linear. It's not linear time in the house.
In my head, how this worked was they, you know, people say, I've never died, so I don't know. Knock on wood. But they say that, you know, your life flashes before your eyes when you die. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what happened to Bent Neck now, is her life flashed before her eyes. And it ended like the, and all you notice that like the Bent Neck lady falls in like these significant moments in her life.
Oh, it's creepy. It's the creepiest thing in the whole show.
And once she realizes what's happening, she opens her mouth and screams, and that's the first time that little Nelly was scared of, like, the bent neck lady, is when she opened her mouth and screamed. You know?
Oh, my God.
So that's, in my head, that's what it was. Bed? Oh, yeah.
Fuck that.
Yeah, not great.
Not for me, man. And because you hear all these, and, like, I have bad nightmares sometimes, but knock on wood, I've never had that one where you, like, wake up and you're still asleep and there's somebody over you.
Yeah.
And, like, you hear about that one all the time.
Yeah, I suffered from sleep paralysis as a kid. It was not a good time.
Not good.
Not a good time. Yeah.
Whew. All right, the Red Room was another big reveal, Ryan. I guess question number 3 would be, how did the Red Room work? Like, I know each kid had their own room. Like, you know, Steven had a video game room, and they're like, video game room. And, like, they each had, like, their own room. So I get that part.
The treehouse, yeah.
The tree, like, but how do you get in there without anybody else seeing you in there or being able to experience that?
Well, you could go in there with other people, because remember, Steven went in there with Luke, and it was, like, the treehouse. And, like, remember his dad was like, you talk about him seeing ghosts, he's like, when would I have ever built you a treehouse? There was no treehouse. So in the whole thing.
Yeah, well, and then, because one of them, there's also a scene in, like, the kitchen where, like, oh, Luke's in his treehouse, and, like, the mom makes, like, just kind of, like, laughs, like she thinks the other kid's joking about it.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, okay, great, yeah, he's in his treehouse.
So I think, you know, you can look at it in any number of ways. Like, that's their version of, like, heaven, you know, where it's Theo's dance studio, or it's, you know, Luke's treehouse, or, like, you know, their little version of heaven. Or the afterlife, or what that's like.
The logistics of it, I guess, to me, I'm curious, like, because, like, we've also seen where two of the kids are trying to get in it, and it's, like, locked. And then there's the scene where I think it's Shirley and Nell are trying to break into it, and then Theo's inside dancing, and she, like, hears somebody banging on the wall. She's like, what's going on?
Yeah, and then there's the scene, and it was great that they showed it from both ways. So you see, like, Nellie and Shirley trying to get into the room, and they're like, oh, it's locked. We don't have a key for this. And then you see, like, feet moving underneath the door. And then, like, 8 episodes later, you find out that it's Theo dancing on the other side. So it was kind of a cool thing to me. But
oh, it was. It was cool. I mean, it's kind of a head-scratcher, but it is cool. And the other part is, as you're watching it, they have, like, that rectangle window in the middle.
Yeah.
And so it's shot, they're all shot the exact same. And, like, so the rooms are all different, but you know they're all in that same place because of the window.
Right.
And I don't know if you read about this, but apparently there was an alternate ending. And so the way it ends is it jumps forward, and Luke is celebrating his 2-year anniversary of being sober, and they have a cake. And it's really all the surviving people are there, like, and their wives or girlfriends or whatever. They're all there, and I guess they said at one point they had the idea of putting in that room that they're in the background, they were going to put that rectangle window.
The window, yeah.
And then that would have implied, like, none of them actually left. Which would have been sick.
That would have been better, but I think
it would have been better. I mean, it would have been darker for sure, but I think it would have been pretty sick. So then if you did do another season later on, you could be like, all of the cranes are in the house now.
Yeah, and all you're going to be like looking for like that window like all the time, which is kind of, yes. I like stuff like that.
Yes, but to, that's cool.
We talked about it at the beginning of the episode, like one of the things that we kind of didn't like was that the fact that this kind of ended on like a happy note. And the scary,
it didn't seem it was all that fitting.
The scary heavy shit like kind of like simmered like towards the end, like it kind of went away. Right. Gradually. And so the ending, you had like this kind of like happy ending, which was nice. And it was touching, yeah. And it was really nice. And some of the dialogue was really good, yeah. Between the parents and the kids. And, you know, I thought that was really nice, but it didn't gel as well. That's why I gave it a 5 instead of a 6. 'Cause it didn't really,
yeah.
I was like, okay, that's nice. But like, I wish they'd gone a little darker with the ending, you know?
Yeah, I think it would have been cool if they went with that ending. Yeah, question number 4, what's the deal with the caretakers? So the Dudleys, and as I'm watching the show, like as with any show, I'm trying to like guess what's going to happen and what's going on. So I thought all the Dudleys were ghosts for a while. I thought they were all dead, and like, mm-hmm. they were talking to them. Turns out not true, and we already talked about Abigail, their daughter, and what happened to her and how she really died there. But a few things happened with them. So the daughter dies, and they like quickly get over it because they see ghost version of her.
Yeah.
So rather than losing their fucking minds or like attacking the cranes or doing something, they're just like, hey, we see her now. We won't tell anybody. Just make sure the house stays up. I'm like, well, that's kind of convenient.
That's kind of convenient. And not only that, but like, shit, I wasn't going to say. Yeah, that was super convenient, but I think... I forgot what also, I was going to say. This is terrible podcasting. Fine.
The other part is, and maybe you'll think of it, is they obviously knew something was really up with Hill House. Like, they even made it clear. They're like, we don't come out, you know, after when it's dark. We're never going to be here. And like, we don't want Abigail over here. And it's like, then move. If it's that bad, stop working there. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, and so I remember what I was going to say. There was a line of dialogue where Mr. Dudley was talking about, like, we tried to keep her from this. Like, we tried to, you know, we homeschooled her. We tried to keep her from this. And maybe the in a roundabout way, the moral of the whole thing is, like, you can't keep kids from the outside world. You can't keep them from the scary things. Like, eventually they're going to find their way to them.
True.
And I think all along they knew that was going to happen. Like, the house was eventually going to take all of them, you know? And at the end they have their really good scene where old Dudley is bringing in his wife, who's clearly dying, and they're both old at this point, and she dies in the house. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought that, and so she could be with Abigail. I thought that was a nice little bow to put on that.
That was good. But it was just like their they processed it all way too quick for me. Mm-hmm. They were just like, oh my God, she's dead.
That's cool.
Look around. Oh, wait, there she is.
Mm-hmm.
It's ghost version of her. We're good with this version. We'll bury the body. And we don't tell anybody. Yeah. I was like, what the fuck? Okay.
Yeah, that was a little weird.
Question number 5, Ryan. If you could steal a smooch from one of the characters in this series, who would it be?
My heart says Olivia, played by Carla Gugino, because I love her so much.
Okay.
Hard Theo, though. I'm going with Theo.
It's Theo, and it's not close.
It's not close.
Really, the only acceptable answer other than Theo in my mind would be Theo's girlfriend.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Nice.
Nice. But yeah, she, interesting character and a lovely, lovely lady.
She is very fair.
Oh, yes.
I would say.
Oh, yes.
Not that looks is the most important thing or even that important at all, but if you were looking at something like that,
if that were your thing, if that's all you cared about, then definitely give her a look. But not us.
Right.
We are very complex men with very many strong independent women in our lives, much like the character Theo in the show The Haunting of Hill House.
But really very fair.
Mm-hmm.
And then the final question, Ryan, is do you want a season 2 of The Haunting of Hill House?
Not really.
Yeah, I think I'm good.
I think I'm good there.
So I guess what happened was the, who was it? Let's see. Where is it?
While you're looking for that, I will watch a second season of it, but I don't want one, if that makes any sense to anybody.
Yeah. Okay. Here it is. In an interview with Entertainment Weekly, Mike Flanagan, who kind of created this whole thing, He said, quote, "I don't want to speculate too much about season two until Netflix and Paramount and Amblin let us know if they want one. What I will say, though, is that as far as I've been concerned with this, the story of the Crane family is told. It's done."
Yeah, okay, good, good. That's exactly what I wanted to hear.
It would be what you said about another family moves in, and then maybe you get like a couple Easter eggs from the Cranes, but it wouldn't be these characters anymore, which I think makes sense.
Yeah, I think seeing, you know, Hugh or Olivia Crane like in the house at some point would be cool.
Oh my god! If it looks like that one guy with the big eyes and the wide open mouth, it would freak me out.
Oh my god! I should have never told you to look for the ghosts.
No, I shouldn't have. I'll have to take a screenshot of that guy because that guy creeps me the hell out.
Go on YouTube and look at all the ghosts, and you can watch the compilation. It's like 3 minutes long, and they do them
maybe in the daytime. I'll do that. It's not about to ruin my night's sleep.
Yeah.
Doing that. All right, anything else, Ryan, on the Haunting of Hill House? No,
definitely give it a watch. It's one of the better horror series I've seen like ever. You know, so
no, it's cool. And there's a lot of little things, and there's definitely things you can pick up. So if you're somebody, I don't know, a lot of people are like that, where they like to either put stuff together or just like, if you're gonna watch it again, I think it would be interesting too. Like knowing what you know now, I'm sure they leave you even more clues as to what really happened.
Yeah, and that's good writing, you know?
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's get to the pick of the pod.
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 All right, Ryan, kick, receive, defer, or defend a goal.
I will defer to you this week.
All right, how about this one? Now, a lot of people probably have seen this. I had not seen this movie yet. And if you're a fan of Making a Murderer or the Serial podcast or the Jinx or the Staircase, all of that stuff, it really all started 1988's The Thin Blue Line.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen this?
I have.
Holy smokestacks.
Really
good.
So
this actually is also on Netflix. Mm-hmm. I was going through like best movies on Netflix because they're obviously hit or miss and they're always kind of coming and going. And I'm like, you know what? I can't believe I haven't seen this yet, because every time I watched one of those other ones, people are like, well, this is kind of the original. And so I finally got around to watching it. And what's really impressive is it's amazing. It's great on its own. But you can also see how these producers and creators have improved upon it,
mm-hmm.
you know, because when you're watching it, you can kind of get a little lost. And this was before they did like the names of all the characters. Like, so like, you don't even have that. Like, they don't like introduce you to characters with titles on the screen.
Right.
And so you kind of have to pick it up on the fly. But what a brutal, brutal story about another guy falsely imprisoned.
And what's awesome is that, not to make light of it, because that movie on its own is like really, really good. Bill Hader, Fred Armisen Show documentary Now, which I believe is also on Netflix, did a spoof of The Thin Blue Line, and it's hilarious.
So if you've seen that. Well, I knew about The Thin Blue Line because it's in like a bunch of parodies, and like mm-hmm. people have done it a lot. And so that's funny that I'll have to go back and watch that.
You have to watch that because that's actually fucking really funny. If you've seen The Thin Blue Line, it's even funnier. It's one of those. Like, it's funny on its own, but if you've seen The Thin Blue Line, it's really funny.
I mean, man, you feel for this guy.
Yeah, and it's funny. Like, so Armisen plays the guy who's like the guy who got falsely accused.
Oh my god! Actually, I could see either one of them. But Armisen's probably good.
And he's like the most annoying guy in the world. And like the reason he gets thrown in jail is because everyone thinks he's annoying, which is like super funny. Yeah.
So that was good. Obviously, it's not, you know, a pick me up by any means, but if you like those kind of shows and series, then I would give that a shot.
Not to spoil anything, but the reason that Bill Hader, who plays like the killer guy, pins the thing on Fred Armisen is because he turned off his poison tape when they're in the car. It's like nobody turns off my poison. So you like pinned a murder on the guy. Oh, it's fucking hilarious. Sorry for swearing.
That's good. No, you're all good. I'll edit that out.
Thank you.
What do you have?
I have. So this one doesn't actually come out till Friday, but I've heard really good things about it. It's something that I'm going to be watching as soon as it comes out. The Coen Brothers movie, The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, which is it's like six vignettes that are like Westerns. I don't know if you know this. I'm into kind of a Western vibe these days.
You like the Westerns?
I like the Westerns.
You should have bought a cowboy hat.
No, thank you. Do you hear how much he spent on that thing? That lunatic?
No.
What do you think? Too much. What is too much for a cowboy hat?
Did I not see that?
You didn't.
I didn't see. I thought. Okay. No, I didn't. I do not know how much he spent.
What is too much?
I mean, for me, it would have been $10. It would have been too much. But give me a real guess.
Yep.
let's see, a new era baseball hat now is like 40 probably, like which I think is insane.
It's insane.
If you bought like a Red Sox hat, it'd be $40. So let's say $50.
$218 for a cowboy hat. Like,
I mean,
you went to Nashville for 3 days.
I can probably count on my hand the number of purchases I've made for over $218.
I could have bought my family of four a month's worth of groceries for $218 at Costco.
I mean, my TV, my PlayStation, my computer, my car.
Yeah, that's it.
Your
dog food.
My wife's engagement ring.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah.
$218
for a cowboy hat.
I mean, you could fly to like a pretty good destination and back for less than that.
Sure can. And he drove to Nashville.
What are you gonna do with a cowboy hat?
He said it's now a Halloween costume, which is a pretty inexpensive Halloween costume, if I do say so.
You could have bought a lot of Halloween costumes.
You could have bought how many? You know how many scream masks you could buy with $218?
All the different ones. The glow in the dark one.
You could walk in all kinds of ones. All the Spirit of Halloweens are like shutting down, so you can get those all on clearance. You could buy them out.
You could have bought a Spirit of Halloween.
You probably could have bought the whole store. Franchise it up.
Cowboy hat.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, they look outrageous too.
Yeah.
They're not practical.
They are not. And if you wear one up here, you look like an asshole.
It's a terrible purchase.
Honest. Yeah. So
like you would have been better off spending $218 on like Long Island iced teas or something.
Oh yeah, and they got a great the only beer now that I'll actually drink is they only sell it in Tennessee. It's called Happen Harry's. It's made by the people who make Jack Daniels. But
nice.
Yeah, it's very very good. It's a very good local beer. Nice lager. Nice light lager.
Smooth finish.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. I like it.
All right.
And I don't drink nothing.
All right, so that's
ginger ale and coffee.
So that's all you need.
Yeah.
Really the two.
So anyway, so to finish by the Ballad of Buster Scruggs, it's a Coen Brothers movie, which is coming out on Netflix on Friday. So I'll be watching that on Friday. Please believe.
Sounds good. You can report back to us. So either later this week or next week, we will do our standalone episode for Stan Lee, which I am looking forward to. And again, email us dorkpodcast@gmail.com. You can tweet us @dorkpodcast. We can add some of your Stan Lee thoughts in there as well. You can rate, review, and subscribe on the iTunes. We appreciate that. #dork and everywhere podcasts are heard. WEEI.com, all that nonsense. Twitch, Ryan, you be twitching.
@ArvonD on Twitch and Twitter.
Yeah.
I'll let you
boy. And we have the occasional YouTube as well.
So. Yeah, once in a while.
It's all good. All good. Anything else, Ryan?
Nope, I'm good.
All right. Another perfect episode in the books.